Stories to Remember. Stories of people, of those we sometimes call strangers.
Jim, there are a lot of things that are hard for you to understand now that you'll know more about when you're older. Social differences, I mean.
Stories of human dignity and decency.
Doggone. Henry must have been planning this present for a long time. Sure took a lot of nickels and dimes. First thing in the morning, I've got to get over to the Wilsons and say a real thank you to Henry.
With Hugh Marlowe narrating, we present Birthday Gift, another story worth remembering.
She flies through the air with the greatest of ease, a daring young man on the flying trapeze. Da, da, da. Oh, doggone.
What's the matter, Jamie? Cut yourself?
Nah, doggone knife couldn't cut butter. Just choose the wood.
Well, that blade there looks pretty beat up.
Only got it about a year ago. Paid 59 cents for it at the variety store. Doggone. This fuselage looks as if rats been at it.
Well, I'll sand it down. As soon as I get through with this wing I'm working on, I'll sand it down smooth as a baby's cheek.
Imagine if we really had the right kind of tools, the planes we could build, Henry. 8 motor jobs like in that magazine I showed you.
Well, the next one we ought to try is one of those jets. I'm working on the plans. Jets is the airship of the future. I read some big flyer said it. How about that?
Don't I know it.
What do you say we make one next, Jim?
Sure, Henry. The next one. Doggone old knife.
You turn back to the slow, painstaking work of carving the smooth sweep of a miniature fuselage. And as you, Jimmy Travers, work, you forget the dull knife. You forget that it's getting late. You almost forget about tomorrow, your 12th birthday. And that's because you're with your friend, Henry Wilson. And you're working together on a model plane. And there's no kid in the whole town of Cartersburg can shape a wing like Henry can.
Doggone the time. Pretty soon I've got to get home.
Well, what for, Jim?
It's getting late.
It only takes you 5 minutes.
Well, that's just for getting there. I've got to wash before dinner. You're lucky, Henry. Dirt don't show on you. That's a big advantage you've got.
Well, I don't know about that. I can't always get dirt that matches. This is all right here, but you take the light clay on the riverbank. That matches you a lot better than it does me.
Well, we're not on the riverbank now, and I've got to be clean for dinner. Doggone. Maybe I'll even have to take a bath.
Okay. I'll finish this wing tomorrow.
Sure, Henry. I'll be seeing you tomorrow anyway, at my birthday party.
You sure it's all right, Jim? I mean, your folks know I'm coming?
Said I could ask who I wanted. It's my party. Guess the cake'll be chocolate all right.
Oh, man.
Say, I almost forgot my knife. Sure hope I can get me another one soon. Well,
like the old man says, another day, another dollar. Let's go.
Jimmy?
Yes, Mom?
I thought you said you washed.
I just did.
Well, look at your knees.
Oh, they'll be under the table, Mom.
Now, Jim.
Well, it's a free country, Ann. Hey, let me get at that hash. I'm starved.
Care for some bread, Father?
Thanks. Well, son, all set for tomorrow?
Oh, yes, sir. Everybody's coming.
Who's everybody?
Oh, 7 of his friends, dear. I left it to him to choose.
Oh. Who are the lucky boys, Jim?
Well, there's Bill and Spot and Joe and Jim Egan and Henry and Pete and Mickey. And I know what Pete's going to give me for a present.
You didn't ask him, did you?
No, but he told me.
Oh.
It's a necktie, and he said he didn't think I'd like it much. But his mother bought it for him to give me.
Don't be so commercial, son.
Henry, Jimmy, which one's Henry?
Well, Henry Wilson. Will you please pass the jam if it's strawberry?
It is strawberry, and here you are, son.
Thanks, Father.
Jimmy?
Yes, sir?
Jimmy, isn't Henry Wilson the little black boy?
He isn't little, Mom. He's taller than I am.
That's not what I meant.
He isn't black, Mom. It's just sort of dark brown.
Mark, I think perhaps you'd better...
I'll tell you, son. You see, it's a little difficult. You play with Harry...
Henry. His name is Henry.
I'm sorry, Henry. You play with him quite a bit, don't you?
Oh, yes, sir.
But the Wilsons only moved into town about 6 weeks ago, Mark. I don't believe they've had a chance
to get... work together every day when we can, and sometimes even Sunday.
What sort of work?
A plane, Father. We're building a model plane. And Henry's one of the best wood carvers I ever saw.
Where do you do this work?
Well, back of Simpson's garage, on account of it's very handy. Mr. Simpson said it's all right.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Well, then what's wrong?
Jim, there are a lot of things that are hard for you to understand now that you know more about when you're older. Social differences. I mean, it's one thing, the acquaintances you have at school, and then at home it's something else again. I suppose it's hard for you to understand, but... Well, I think it would be a good thing if you asked someone else to your party instead of Henry.
But I've already asked him.
Yes, I know. I realize that. Well, Anne?
It would only embarrass the boy. Mark, he's probably never been invited to a white home before. He'd only feel awkward.
Oh, no, Mom. No, he won't. His house is pretty much like ours, so that's all right.
It's not all right, Jimmy. You'll just have to believe your father and me and do what we tell you to. Henry will understand.
Father?
Your mother's right, Jim.
You mean I can't have Henry?
No, son. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
Right after dinner, you go over to the Wilsons to tell Henry that he can't come to the party. You walk over very slowly, with a hollow feeling inside you because you don't know how you're going to say the things you have to say. Your feet drag up the front steps to the porch. And finally, you ring the doorbell.
Evening, Mr. Wilson.
Well, well. Evening, Jimmy. Come on inside.
You like Mr. Wilson a lot, only right now you feel like turning around and running home. But you gulp and nod and follow him into the living room. It's comfortable and cheerful there. Mrs. Wilson is sewing, and Henry is humped up in the middle of the floor on his knees and elbows with his chin on his fists, reading the funny paper.
Good evening, Jimmy.
Evening, Mrs. Wilson.
Hi, Jim. Here, sit down. Terry and the pirates are... Hey, Jim.
Well, Dan asked me to come over. He figured Henry'd rather not come to the party.
You notice Mr. and Mrs. Wilson look at each other in that peculiar way that parents have of looking at each other. You wait helplessly for someone to say something. You look down at Henry. He's sitting on the floor and very carefully tearing bits of paper off the edge of the funny page and stacking them neatly on the rug. In despair, you turn to Mr. Wilson.
Oh, it's all right, Jimmy. It's quite all right. We understand. Are there any cookies in the house, Jen?
There are a few ginger ones in the jar, Henry.
Well, I've just had my dinner.
Mom, did you find that piece of ribbon?
I was going to look for it tonight, but I don't think Jimmy will mind it's just being string, dear. The package is right there by the clock.
This is yours, Jim, your birthday present. I meant for it to have ribbon on it, but if I'm not... Well, I'd better give it to you now. Well,
thanks, Henry. Well, I'll be seeing you.
Sure, I'll be seeing you.
Well, good night, everybody.
Good night, Jimmy.
Good night, son.
I told Henry, Father.
What did he say?
Nothing much.
Jim?
Yes, sir?
Where are you going?
Upstairs to do my homework.
Oh, that's all right, son.
Well, don't stay up too late, will you, dear?
No, Mom.
Good night, Jimmy.
Good night.
Is everything all right, Jimmy?
Yes, Mom. Everything's all right.
But everything is not all right. Not by a long shot. You know that as you go upstairs. You know it as you sit down to do your math homework. And you find the first problem even more stupid than math problems usually are. You try to concentrate, but you're getting nowhere fast. Inside you is a mean, depressed feeling, and you can't get rid of it. Empty and restless, you undress and get into bed. You hope to fall asleep quickly, but tonight it just doesn't work out that way. You shut your eyes tight, and behind your lids the picture forms neat and sharp. The picture of that little package that Henry gave you on the bureau. You begin to wonder what's in it.
Can't be very much. Henry's allowance is as small as mine. Maybe smaller.
Tenderly, you unwrap and fold the tissue paper. The box is the color of oatmeal, and stamped on it in blue letters is Jackson's Hardware. You take a deep breath and lift the lid.
Doggone! A penknife!
You take it out and snap it open. The blade is neat and wicked and sharp. It's a beauty. And why shouldn't it be? Jackson's is the best hardware store in town, and their things cost money.
Doggone! Henry must have been planning this present for a long time. Sure. I remember that time he said an ice cream cone would spoil his supper. And using saved-up paper for his themes instead of buying a notebook. And walking to the ballpark instead of taking the trolley. Sure took a lot of nickels and dimes. Sure did. First thing in the morning, I've got to go over to the Wilsons and say a real thank you to Henry. And then I'll...
You stop suddenly. Maybe the Wilsons wouldn't want you there anymore after what happened. The birthday party is to start at noon. But at 11:20 next morning, you go straight to your place back of Simpson's garage. Henry is there. He's sitting against the fence studying a strip of rubber tubing he's found in the junk pile. He looks up at you in surprise.
Hiya, Henry.
Oh, hiya, Jimmy.
You open your lunchbox and take out two paper napkins and spread them carefully on a clean piece of earth. Then you put an apple on each one of them to hold it down. Next, you take out two pieces of chocolate birthday cake with white frosting and put a candle on top of each. Beside them, you lay a red paper cracker and three chocolate mints. Last, you take out a match and light the two candles. Then you look at Henry, and for a second you're afraid he's going to cry.
Here, we have to pull these crackers first.
Okay, pull. We'll do both together. Which cap do you want, green or orange?
Orange.
Well, now let's eat.
Wait, you want to wish on your candle? It's your birthday cake, and you can wish on it.
Oh, sure. I almost forgot. I wish for everything to be just the way it was before. Okay, dig in!
Jim?
Oh, hello, Father.
Better come on home, Jim, right away. Your guests are waiting for you.
You get slowly to your feet. Henry stays where he is, very still on the grass. Your father looks at Henry, and then down at the ground. He stands there and looks at what is left of the birthday party, at the wax paper and birthday napkins, and the split red paper crackers. There isn't very much to see, but your father stares at it all, as if he were memorizing it, as if everything on the ground is very important.
Father, we had my birthday party.
I see you did, Jimmy. But we'd better go home now. Your guests, your other guests, are waiting for you.
You go ahead, Jimmy. I'll clean up the paper and things.
Okay. You can work on the fuselage if you want to. We'll finish up the wings tomorrow.
Looks like you're going to have a fine airplane there, fellas. I'd sure like to see it when it's done. Ready, son?
Yes, Father. So long, Henry. I'll see you tomorrow.
Stories to Remember is a Lest We Forget presentation of the Institute for Democratic Education. It is offered as a reminder of our nation's promise of equal opportunity for all, regardless of color, creed, or national origin. Today's story, with Hugh Marlowe narrating Birthday Gift by B.J. Shute, appeared originally in The Woman's Home Companion. It was adapted for radio by Milton Wayne, directed by Earl McGill, and produced by Harold Franklin. Listen in again next week at this same time for another Story to Remember.